Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, January 19th, 2013. And it's Paradigm Shifters time, so please allow me to give to you Paradigm Shifters.
Paradigm Shifters. Principles for Life and Success, hosted by motivationalist Steve Duncanson. Start framing your tomorrows today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Paradigm Shifters. I'm Steve Duncanson. I'm pleased to be able to welcome you here today. Wish you a happy new year and looking forward to, I'm glad that you're looking to start your new year off with us here at Paradigm Shifters. Before I continue on, as usual, I'd like to welcome and recognize my co-hosts on the program, Aurelia. Aurelia, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, and Marilyn Casio, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Hi, Aurelia. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you doing?
Doing real good. Doing real good. Really great to, be with you guys here as well, and looking forward to what we can share during our time here. A couple of things we want to acknowledge before we get started, because this is kind of like a chock-full weekend of things going on. Not the least of which is this is the weekend of the presidential inaugural, right? And we get to, once again, inaugurate President Barack Obama for a second term. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about that.
Yay!
You know, based on where we were as a nation close to four years ago, I thought it would kind of take more than 4 years to turn things around. You know, we've all heard the aphorism about it. You know, big ships, it takes a long time. Big ships don't turn on a dime, right? And so there were a lot of issues that existed in our nation and still do. But the reality is I believe we've made progress and we're starting to make that turn. So we're really glad to recognize and celebrate for President Obama and looking forward to what's going to happen during his second term. In addition, we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. We celebrate it on Monday. For those of you who don't have off, if you want to pass, just write into Aurelia. She'll sign a pass for you, and you'll be off for that day.
Sure, why not?
All right. But we certainly want to recognize and commemorate his life, the contributions that he has made, and so well deserving of the holiday. If we get to do something. Maybe take time to do something to remember him over this weekend. And Aurelia, you also mentioned this is service weekend.
Today is a day of service in honor of Dr. King. This Saturday it was a day of service where you were supposed to go out and to, you know, volunteer to do something, anything in your community and, you know, within your church, whatever it is. Today was supposed to be the day of service, and they had a few. There was a few places where you can go, you can log on to, and they can show you all the different places that had activities available for you to just go volunteer your services.
Great. So whether our listeners would take advantage of that, most specifically the things that are already organized and structured, or you yourself do something for your community. You know, one of the things that Reverend King also talked about was that the measure of society is what we do for those who can't do for themselves, right? And so for us to go out and serve others, of course, my favorite book says, he that be greatest among you, let him serve. And we talked before about that principle that you can't harvest money until you plant the seed that grows money, and the seed of money is service. So I think that the whole concept and idea out there of service is something that proliferates the universe. And if we, in fact, tap into that, we're able to see some great sort of return. And when it's all said and done, service isn't about for you anyway. It's for someone else. But because of the law of reciprocity, we get the benefit, right? The law of compensation. So we're really would encourage everyone from that standpoint. What we are looking to talk about today is, you know, is something that's new and something that's old, or something that's old and new, however you want to look at it. But they are, it's tireless as it relates to its relevance in our experience from day to day. And that's why, again, I also often like to talk about principles, because principles, they do not change. They are inviolate. As a matter of fact, if it changed, it wouldn't be a principle. It would purely be someone's opinion or a theory. So what we, the concepts that we talked about on our show here really have to do with timeless elements or truths that we can build our lives on. And I think one of those truths, and something even to consider at this, the beginning of a new year, is the aspect of change. You know, invariably, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions the 1st of January, 31st into the 1st. And according to statistics and research, oftentimes by like the third week of January, those resolutions are broken and people won't follow through on the change. I was in the barbershop yesterday, and the barber was talking about how he sees this influx of new people in the gym every January and how they mess up the flow of people who are the real gym rats, right? They don't put the weight back. They're not juiced up. Place is all crowded. And so he said that, you know, I try to figure out the hours they're not going to be there and just grin and bear it, because I know in a couple of weeks they're not going to be around. Have you guys found that to be true oftentimes? I mean, not for yourself, but I'm talking about maybe in your things that you've been exposed to. You see people start training programs and then stop, you know.
Yes. I mean, it's just the way that it goes. Every New Year's, most people, they say, I want to do this, 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 and that. And they do try to attempt it. However, somewhere down the line, they just stop. And I don't know, you know, why they stop. I know that if I set out with a goal, I try to stick with it till the end. But, yeah, you know, it's everybody is different, and I don't know why they set. Maybe the expectations are too high. Maybe they didn't plan it out properly. Maybe they didn't think things through carefully enough. However, for myself, I try to stick through.
Gotcha.
Can I add something to that? I feel that it's very difficult for people. And yes, we make our resolutions and we know what we want, and that, you know, there's so many people that say, okay, they want to lose weight, they want to work out, they, or whatever it may be. But I think that the problem is that that's only one area that we're changing in our life, and we need to the main area that we need to change is the area where we are on autopilot. And if we don't change that area in our life of us being on autopilot, we're just going to go back into our old habits. And in order to break those old habits, you need to replace them. You need to replace an old habit with something new. Because if you don't replace it, you're going to go right back to that old habit. So you have to ask yourself, what is it? What can I replace with this? And that's where it comes into making the choice and going into your consciousness is the way you talk to yourself. How are you talking to yourself? Are you saying, well, this is like me. You know, I'm always, you know, I feel lazy about it, and I'm always late. So if that's the story you're telling yourself, that's what you're going to do. And, you know, how you think is how you feel, and how you feel is going to cause you how you're going to act, how you're going to behave, what actions you're going to take to accomplish these goals.
Yeah, you brought up several good points there, Marilyn, and one of them really had to do with replacing a habit with one other, not just stopping something, but starting something else, replacing, because, you know, we know the universe abhors a vacuum. It's going to fill it with something. And so certainly, you know, if you start a weight training or diet program, you can't stop simply say, I'm not going to eat this or I'm not going to do this. You have to figure out, what am I going to do? So that's one point. Right. And then the other one you mentioned, Aurelia, and that is people knowing what they want to change, but not knowing why. Again, that why not being big enough, because that's ultimately what's going to drive anything. What is your reason? What is your rationale? Your why is what powers you through obstacles. And the clearer we have to be, you know, you say, you know, I want to lose weight, I want to earn more money, I want to read more, whatever that thing might be, what is the why behind it? What is the ultimate objective you're looking to accomplish? Is that burning deep down inside? Because the more that is burning and the clearer you are on that, that will draw you towards that goal. Other than that, you have a sense of what the goal is, but so the fuel that's going to drive you through it is the why behind it. And so one of those aspects that we're looking at, and that, again, as we said from the outset, it kind of comes into play, even with this, has to do with that aspect of the C word, change, something that we know oftentimes as human beings that we don't like. We have talked about before, and are going to, you know, delve into just a little bit here today as a recap, that resource that everyone should have read to this point. Some people just read it last night, but anyway, we won't talk about that book by Dr. Spencer Johnson, Who Moved My Cheese? Who Moved My Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of salient lessons there. And you guys want to give a recap of what the book is about, who the characters are, and the essence of the book?
I read this book years ago, and it was at a very good time. And I remember the message and the concept of it on the cheese, right? They have two, if you want to recap this, Steve, but I know there's two sets of mice. Scurry and Scuffy, right?
Yeah, so we have Hem and Haw and Sniff.
And Hem and Haw. So the one team was had one way of thinking, right? And then the other one was the one that was comfortable. They were in their comfort zone, and they thought their cheese was always going to be there, and that, so they took it for granted. So what I got from it is, you know, sometimes you have things in life that you want to treasure. You want to take care of these things. Sometimes we have miracles right in front of us. It's like when a child is born and that you have tears of joy, and that's a miracle. And when 15 years go by, so you look at your child and say, wow, thank you, God, for this gift, for this miracle that I have. Every single day you should look at your children and say, wow, this is a miracle, and not take these things for granted.
Sure.
So that's what I get from it. Whatever you have, when you treasure that, when you first get a job and you're excited about it and you're telling everyone about it, and 5 years go by, are you still working with the same enthusiasm, giving it the best that you've got and doing things that to the best of your ability and being appreciative and grateful for what you have and not take it for granted?
Right. So the essence of what cheese is, the metaphor for anything that we value, whatever that thing might be. And the reality is, for our lives, we are in pursuit of cheese. Whether that is children, a job, finances, whatever that thing might be, right? And so the story talks about these four mice whose context is a maze. And that they're going through the maze of life looking for cheese. And at one point or another, in the station that they're in, and the maze that they're in, the cheese is removed. And so they spend the rest of the time trying to find cheese. And there are various lessons that they learn. And if I can just recap what, Aurelia, you have the book in front of you?
Yes, I do. What you
on
want?
Page 74. It talks about the handwriting on the wall.
Okay.
Maybe you can read those for our listeners. What is the handwriting on the wall?
Okay, it's simple. Change happens, and you have to keep moving the cheese.
Yeah, right. It is going to happen. It's inevitable. And the key words here, they keep moving the cheese. Interesting. Okay, continue.
Anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move.
So in other words, the reality is that the more prepared you are for the fact that it's inevitable that the cheese is going to be moved, the more prepared you are, the less likelihood you're to be surprised, and you'll be ready to more quickly hit the ground running when the cheese is moved, whenever they move the cheese. Next.
Monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it's going to get old or when it's getting old.
Yeah, I think you can link that a little bit with the other one, with the previous one, with anticipating it. But it's about being conscious of what we have and is it still remaining relevant. You got to know when it's about to change, when what you're doing is no longer effective, when what you're pursuing is no longer of value. Right? Smell it often. Be aware of it. Next.
Adapt to change quickly. The quicker you can let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy the new cheese. Change. Move with the cheese.
Right. So adapting to change when it's going to happen. In other words, this is something that has happened to you. Right? It's something that's happened to you. And the quicker, rather than pining for what has been lost, you want to look forward in anticipation to what you're going to get. What's coming down the line. I'm remembering thinking of families who were impacted by Hurricane Sandy, and certainly they did nothing for that to happen to them, but the key is we can't pine for what has gone. We've got to figure out what's going forward, what we need to do moving forward to achieve the thing that we want. The change, and move with the cheese. So it's not just talk about change. We actually have to take change, make change. We can't just talk about it. We have to be about it. We have to do it. The next one?
Enjoy change. Savor the adventure and enjoy the taste of new cheese.
Enjoy. So that's akin to being content with what you have while you work towards what you want, right? And enjoy it. And savor the moment of that new cheese, because it's always not going to remain new. It's going to get old at some point, but enjoy the moment.
Yes. Be ready to change quickly and enjoy it again. They keep moving the cheese.
Yeah, be ready to change quickly. Flexibility, adaptability. And I think the more used to change you are, the greater the likelihood that you will adapt to it. You don't become sedentary. You don't become complacent because you're ready to continually make some moves. But what it said there is they keep moving the cheese. And as we go through all these and certainly embrace the lessons thereof, I think it, as in normal form, there was an additional thinker who came about after Dr. Spencer Johnson in 2011 and released another book, which might be seen, if not a sequel to this because it's a different author, just and a slight different perspective on the exact same thing. So the first question is asked, who moved my cheese? The title of this book answers that question. It says, I moved your cheese. All right? Dr. Deepak Malhotra, Harvard Business School, wrote that. And the subtitle is, for those who refuse to live as mice in someone else's maze. That is the key of this particular resource. It's someone else's maze. No matter what job or context that we are presently in, what we talked about in the first book, Who Moved My Cheese, was the reality of that maze still existing, that cheese being able to be found in that same maze. This next book says, I moved your cheese. Not only was a cheese move, but the context changed. The maze no longer existed. So that could be analogous to the job no longer being there, right? The house no longer existing. The relationship that you had no longer being there. So it's not working within the context of those, is those no longer exist. And so now what do you do to experience the success that you ultimately want, right? So this book is the inspiring story about the adventures of the three mice who refuse to accept their given the reality that it's given to them, right? And they watch their lives unfold and it intersects, and they discover instead of just blindly chasing after cheese, that we have the ability to escape the maze or even reconfigure it to our liking. In the face of practices that are presently established and traditional ideas and scarce resources and the powerful demands and expectations of others, we often underestimate our ability to control our own destiny and overcome the constraints that we face. We underestimate the power that we have to create our own, not only our own cheese, but our own maze. And so to do that really necessitates some creativity, some innovation, some imagination. In other words, you lost your job, and because they're no longer doing that kind of job anymore, maybe, you know, maybe some things in the auto industry or in banking or in technology, you know, there's some things that just, that whole thing changes completely, and creating something new or recreating oneself. Let's say you've been in a job and you were injured and you can no longer do that thing. Let's say an athlete who loses a limb or a skilled trade worker that becomes physically incapacitated. How do you then experience the success or the quote-unquote cheese in life that you want? It necessitates now changing the venue itself. You guys, is this resonating with you in any way, shape, or form? Is it making any sense?
Yes, it is. Indeed, it does. Because, you know, we're in this, like, stable, unstable economy now. I mean, some things remain the same and things are constantly changing at the same time. So you have to be able to flip on a dime, so to speak, and move into an area where you thought that you weren't able to fit into. And the funny thing about it is, and I did read the overview of the other book, and basically it just says that you have to take the skill sets that you have and transfer them. And they are easily transferable. However, you have to be willing to make that move.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, you have to ask yourself, what would I do if I had no fear? And you have to be willing to step out of the comfort zone. And there is a quote that Spencer Johnson says. It says, being in the uncomfortable zone is much better than staying in the cheeseless situation. And sometimes when a door closes and you think it's the worst thing that has happened to you, another door is going to open, and this is an opportunity to reinvent yourself in a way that's going to move you forward, in a way that you can take this opportunity to go after your dreams and go after your goals and to live what you really are passionate about.
Marilyn, you started out by saying there about what would you, asking that very, very important question, what would you do if you had no
fear? What would you do if you had no fear? A lot of people stay in this situation because they're afraid. They're afraid to move out of that comfort zone. And I always say, if you have a dream in your heart, please don't let it die. It's never too late to do anything. Feel the fear and do it anyway. You can't control. If you feel afraid, it's okay. It's normal, but don't let it paralyze you.
You think about that in practical terms, how many – I speak to individuals a lot of times, and one of the questions I ask them in whatever job that they're in, I ask them, I said, you know, been in a job, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. I said, did you think 25 years ago that you'd be in this position today? This is the job that you wanted. And many, very often, people say no. You know, a lot of people go to school, they go to college, and they study whatever, but they're not working in their area of where their degree is, which means oftentimes, too, they're not working in a job that's really reflective of what their passion is. They're working in an area where that was available to them at that point in time. And if that's the case, you are operating in the context of someone else's maze. And you're in there, and it's safe, and things get moved around, and yeah, you can have a measure of success. But the concept here, saying I moved your cheese, is that maze no longer exists. And so if you're not really in the job that you really wanted to and experiencing the thing you want, then not being afraid to step out and recreate that, you know, to work for yourself. I think this is a lot of those of you even who possibly in entrepreneurial ways. Oftentimes, a lot of people get into their entrepreneurship because, You know, they were forced into it. And some people dream the way
Right.
And so, you know, when I retired from the police department and then I started working, when I went into another job working for that not-for-profit organization, I thought I'd be there for the rest of my life, and that turned into 5 years. From but from there, I didn't seek another job. I sought to pursue my passion and kind of recreated and created something that wasn't necessarily there. When I started doing trainings inside the police department, there were a lot of HR topics, right? You know, the quote unquote soft skills. But some of the things that I discussed in those contexts, there weren't trainings done on those things. And so I think all of us have a particular sort of our uniqueness. And so it's about leveraging your uniqueness and your passion towards your ultimate success and happiness in life. But it takes courage, which I think you guys would agree, right? Courage is not simply not being afraid. Courage is, like you said, Marilyn, being afraid and doing it anyway.
Right. Right. And can I say one more thing about the fear? Sometimes the fear is what you're building up in your own mind, and it's worse than the situation that really is. You are creating it in your own mind. You're creating that for yourself, and the situation is not as bad as it really is in your own mind.
Yeah, you start telling yourself things that aren't really, really there. And that's the whole aspect of that whole cognitive rational theory or the process of manifestation there, is that belief or perspective and which leads to perception, that belief is based on what's inside of you, right? Because what a belief is, what you accept as being true. It's the story you have playing in your head. So what is the story that you're telling yourself, and what's it based on? You know, that question that I asked many times before, what do you believe and who told you that? And being clear on what is, who you are, what is it you want, and your ability to be able to attain that thing. You know, and I think we all have it, but whether we exercise it or not is going to be the individual choice. I'm reminded of a quote by Albert Einstein. He said, "Everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid." Right? The reality is that each of us have a gift. If where you are, you're not feeling fully, not only fully content, but you're not even feeling like this is the place where I'm supposed to be, even if you're experiencing a measure of success in there, that's not the maze that you're supposed to be in. Not only do you not continue to look for cheese in that maze, you break out of that maze and create another one, the one that you want, which, again, is what this other resource is about. Who moved your cheese? I moved your cheese. And now that the cheese has been removed, and the maze has been destroyed, recreated. This is your opportunity for, again, innovation, creativity, imagination, to create and deliver the life that you truly want. Our time is just about up today, and as I shared with my co-host a little bit earlier, we're going to actually have to stop at this point in time today. But before I do, I want to give each of you, Aurelia and Marilyn, if you just want 30 seconds to share your last thoughts with our listeners.
Go ahead, Marilyn.
I just have one quote that I want to leave everyone with, and it's a quote by Joseph Campbell, and it says, "The privilege of a lifetime is being who you are."
I love it.
To be who you are, and that's if you can be who you truly are and you truly meant to be, that is a privilege of a lifetime.
Hold up. I love it. Let me follow that up with, you know, there's something that resonates as soon as you said it. Be who you is and not who you ain't.
By the way, what kind of cheese was that? Was it cheddar cheese?
Anywho.
What kind of cheese it was.
Aurelia and Marilyn, thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you for listening in. We appreciate you. So hope you got some value from the time that we shared, and we look forward to being with you again next time here on Paradigm Shifters. Until then, God bless, be safe, and live your life.
Live your passion.
Thank you for and bye.
Bye.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.